Hallelujah. Amen. We may be seated. Amen. All right. All right, maybe sit here. Welcome to day two. All right, of Walkback 2025. All right, maybe in the evening we'll formally welcome people because people are coming from different parts of Africa and the world. Understand about 25 people came from Ghana this morning. Where are you? All right. Okay, then. God bless you. All right. And we have a lot of powerful men of God here. Bishops and apostles. Sometimes it is the quality of leaders you are bringing to your meeting that shows the real impact of your meeting. So I want to thank all the senior pastors that have taken out time from your busy schedules to be with us here, all right, this morning. Amen. Well, let's just say a word of prayer before getting to the message. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit in this place. We thank you that he's here to glorify Jesus, and I ask by the power of that same Spirit to grant utterance. I speak as your oracle. Your word goes forth unhindered by any demonic force. Light shines in our hearts. Grace is ministered to us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, so I'll be taking the first session this morning for 50 minutes. No. The morning sessions are 70 minutes, please. But you can put me on 60. But for other people, morning session, 70 minutes, please. So they have enough time. All right? All right, so last night, I just want to do a brief recap of some of the things in my session because I'll take off from that point. And I was going to say this, you know, I was listening to some I still listen to it, but some time back in particular, I was listening to Reverend Jerry Savelle's, I'm saying this to say something, Message Camp Meeting 1980, I believe. And I think he was given four sessions to teach. And the theme of what he taught about was man's responsibility, I think God's authority and man's responsibility. But the point I want to bring out was that in all of his sessions, he taught on that particular subject. Man's responsibility, I believe, and God's authority. And he was talking about the legal side and the effective side of it. And it brought me into an understanding for those four series of teaching. And I remember also my pastor, Olubi Johnson, he said, he also went for a camp meeting. He said, I think it was Kenneth Copeland that spoke on the subject of Zoe. He was telling us back then. And it made an impact. So I'm saying this, and going forward in Wolfbeck, that's going to be the architecture we're going to use going forward, in the sense that people who come to minister will minister consistently along a particular theme. Now, different ministers can minister on different things. So somebody coming can be, all he's speaking about during Wolfbeck is the Holy Spirit. All right, another person takes that. So that, because when you have a meeting like this, so that people don't listen to various things and then they say, wait, how do we combine? So you know, if I'm listening to Mr. A, I'm taking in the subject of faith. If I'm listening to Mr. B, I'm taking in the subject of prayer. If I'm listening to Mr. C, I'm talking about the subject, it could be of financial prosperity. So that when you want to listen, you pack their sessions together and listen, and then you pack this person's sessions together. Because I believe that when God sends a minister to a meeting, he doesn't send him with many revelations, he sends him with a message. Alright? And that word therefore can be broken into different sessions. But they come with a word. Alright, from God. They can speak that word in one session. They can speak that word through two sessions. They can speak that word through three sessions. But God always gives a central message to a person to push into the earth. Alright? So last night we started and we were talking about the fact that eagles, when they fly, or when they soar rather, it's a difference between flying and soaring. And that when they soar, it is the opportunity must present itself. And we got down to this and understand this, that time and chance happens to every single person. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11 says time and chance happens to them all. Some people become a victim of time and chance. And then some people, all right, become what you will say, seize the opportunity, but every single person, time and chance happens to you, right? That is the opportunities that time will present. And so if you are in a situation, and I must be truthful, in your life where you believe that this is not where you are supposed to be, not by comparison, but by dissatisfaction in your spirit with the condition that is on the outside, which means that you understand restiveness there, where you are being called to understand this issue of time, all right, and the opportunities that time will present. And we said, when does this time come? When the contrary wind begins to blow. And once the contrary wind begins to blow, then the eagle leverages on that and begins to soar. Now, the truth is, you can operate either under the contrary wind, or you can operate above that contrary wind. And so the eagle begins to go off, spiritually speaking, as the person counts it all joy. And as they begin to rejoice and give God praise for his love that he has towards them, they start riding up and higher, while some other people stay murmuring and complaining as to why this contrary wind has come. And so you have some people operating under the contrary wind. And you have to ask yourself, that do I operate under the contrary wind, or do I ride like a plane goes and surmount it and then get into a place of rest above that, and then it's cruising and coasting at that particular level? So ascending there will bring you to a place where you get to a level where even though the contrary wind is blowing, you are no longer touched by it because you have been elevated to a particular place. You're no longer in your own life. Nobody sees the effect of that particular thing. It might be affecting people that are underneath it, but you that are above it, and this is where you don't have many birds flying, all right, because you're soaring above that. And underneath it, people are being affected. Oh, let me welcome my friend, Pastor David O'Grady. All right. Okay. So underneath, people are there struggling, all right, underneath the effect of it, gotten themselves entangled into things, you know, talking and all of this, while some other people understand what has just happened. Let's say contrary wind blows, a person loses their job, some people get into the chatter, why did they do this and why did they do that, and get into bitterness. Another person knows that this thing is for a reason here, and they ascend. And how do you do that? By counting it all joy, praising God and thanking him for his love or that he has towards you, and you ascend through that, and then get to a place where that thing, nothing has changed yet, but that thing no longer affects you in any negative way because you are above it. And we said, when you are at that point, your visibility of things at a certain level, while some other people are right on that. Let me give a scripture here. Revelations chapter 12 and verse 10. The danger of staying beneath that particular thing. Revelations 12:10. He said, I heard a loud voice saying from heaven, now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, who accused them day and night. And the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives unto death. Now this next verse is what I want you to see. Alright, we hardly talk about this. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens. So some people are rejoicing who are in the heavens. And ye that dwell in them. So you are dwelling in the heavens. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Some people are on the earth. Are you following what I'm saying here? Some people are dwelling in the heavens. It says, and for the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth his time is short. So some can be underneath with the devil going through a lot of things. And some can be above in the heavens. You get what we're saying here? And it's when you are above, that's when you see. Alright? If you are underneath it, you'll be complaining. You are bitter. You are complaining, why this, why that? You know, you're there on social media, you know, doing all of that. You're underneath the winds that are blowing. Some other person has gone up. What they did was sounded crazy because they counted it all joy when other people were complaining. And their plane took off and they began to ascend. And they got to a place where their leaf no longer withers. The thing doesn't touch them. They are not changing anything that they are doing because they are above that wind. It's propelling them. And at that point, they see new opportunities. Someone says, how come I don't see anything? Because anybody underneath doesn't see anything. Are you following what I'm saying here? You have to be above there to begin to see things. And then you see new opportunities. You enter into those new territories. And then you begin to get there. That's why people will say in life, it looks like the rich gets richer, the poor gets poorer. Because when we say poor now, they are underneath there. The rich are above. They are seeing opportunities where other people are seeing. Do you get this here? Others say there's a casting down. You are saying there's a lifting up. All right. So, that's what we are talking. We talked about yesterday here in terms of that. And so it's when you are above there that you have visibility. That's where you can see opportunities out there. You recognize things. You just see it in the realm of the spirit. You see things, whether you're in any industry you are in. You recognize what is coming next, because that wind was to signify that a portal had been opened up, a door had been opened up in the heavens, and then when you climbed up, and then you could see, you saw exactly what God was saying, and then you entered into it. So there's a time of ascendancy where you get to the point where nothing has changed on the outside. What has just changed is you, which means that thing no longer affects you. Do you get what we're saying here? You are no longer affected by that particular thing. So you get to that place there. Alright? And then you now see the opportunity, and then you enter through that opportunity, and then a remarkable change begins to happen in your life. Now if we go to Isaiah chapter 40 there and verse 31. This one I want to just discuss something I believe is very important for the body of Christ. Now it says, but they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. For they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If we go to verse 29, let's start from verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. So I want to speak this morning in continuation about the power dimension when it comes to soaring. Alright, I believe Pastor Steph, she spoke about the fact that it's the operations of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, the power dimension when it comes to that. Now, there is a dual working, and I'll take my time and build it line upon line, precept upon precept, so people can see this. There is a dual working of the Spirit of God in every believer. And it's known as the spirit within and then the spirit upon. So the spirit has two functions in a believer. The spirit works within the believer and then the spirit works upon when it gets upon a particular person and begins to operate in that person's life. When we talk about the spirit within, we are looking at John chapter 4, verse 10 to verse 14. Here we have the woman at the well. Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wilt have asked of her, and he will have given thee living water. Verse 11, it says, the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou this living water? And then Jesus said, Are thou greater than Father Jacob who gave us the well and all of that? And Jesus said, answered and said, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But that water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. So he spoke about a well of water that he will give to an individual, that that individual will drink of that well of water for themselves. Now, when we get to John chapter 7 and verse 37, Jesus on that last day said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here he was talking about an outpouring of the Spirit from within the believer to help in meeting the needs of people. In that other one, he was talking about a well of water which deals with that particular individual. In other words, that well is in that person. He draws out of that well. But there is a river that flows out of that person through which the person ministers there, right, to other people. So that thirst was a thirst for the power of God to walk on the outside, a thirst to see crippled walk, a thirst to hear of things where people, all right, are going through things, and you want to help to change what is going on within their lives. And so there's a thirst for that outworking. But a plant time can come in your own life that there's a thirst, and it says there's a well of water on the inside of you. Let's go for that again. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now you'll find in scripture that there is always a distinction when it says he anointed with the Holy Ghost, it says one, and then there was a second one where he anointed with power. So he anointed with the Holy Ghost, follow me in this, and then he anointed with power. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, Paul spoke about this, and he said, my speech and preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit, and in a demonstration of power. So he split it again to the demonstration of the Spirit and to the demonstration of power. And I want to talk about this ministry here of power. Because it says he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and he was anointed with power. It talks about the demonstration of the Spirit and the demonstration of power. And I think particularly in the Pentecostal movement, well, a lot of times we are making a mistake. The old patriarchs understood that there was a dual working of the Spirit inside. And there was a working for power, which means that is when the Spirit comes upon a person and there can be the Spirit operating inside a person. Look at Jesus here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible tells us that after he was baptized, being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. But the Bible tells us in verse 14, it says, and after 40 days of fasting, Jesus returned in the what? Power of the Spirit. Which means there was something that happened during those 40 days. And people that undermine fasting are talking about the Spirit dimension, not the power dimension. I put it to you, you will never see power in their ministry. Never. They will talk the theories of the Spirit, and I'll show it in a very eloquent way, and we argue it, but let's go to power. And people that might not be able to talk the talk of the Spirit, they will touch power. In other words, in the Spirit dimension, you may say the Greek word for, you know, how many stripes on Jesus? 39, there are 39 classes of disease, and you'll be saying all of that. Somebody else doesn't know all of that. What he says, there's a young man here, you are crippled, God says, starts running, and the person starts running. That's power. Do you get what I'm saying here? Please follow me here, so we understand. One is called the former rain. The other is called the latter rain. Two dimensions of the Spirit.
Look at Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, talks about the former rain and the latter rain. Neither say ye in your heart, let us now fear God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter rain. The former rain is for planting, the latter rain is for harvest. Joel chapter 2 and verse 23 speaks about this. It says in Joel 2:23, it talks about the fact that, be glad, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and it will cause to come now the rain, the former and the latter rain. And Joel, this was the prophecy that Peter talked about. Now, this former rain here is for planting, and largely is for doctrine. That's why it tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 2. It says, my doctrine shall be as the rain, my speech as the dew, as the small rain. That's the former rain there. All right. Upon the tender herb. So there is the former rain there, and there is also the latter rain, which means the former rain, which is where the Spirit comes, that you may know certain things. And then when the latter rain comes, the Spirit is in operation that he might perform the things that you know. So the first phase is to bring you to know certain things, which means the Spirit teaches you. He is working on the inside. He shows you certain things. You become doctrinally sound. Jesus spoke about it. Mark chapter 12 and verse 24. He said, you do err. He talked about the two operations. Mark 12. Jesus said it to them, do ye not therefore err? Because you know not the scriptures, neither what? The power of God. One is to make you know the scriptures. The other is for what? Power. Are you following what I'm saying here? Tonight we're going to look at it. We made a fundamental mistake. We were saying teachers do not have, the teaching ministry is not for power. We will see tonight in the gospel, the teaching ministry is for power. That thing that we said, in fact, the fastest way to power is teaching. That thing we're saying that is for evangelists is wrong. You know, when I got to ministry many years ago, there was somebody, was name was Reverend Collier, who told me, he said that thing about saying teaching, he said I had to debunk it. He said that doctrine, I took it off myself. They will say, well, the teacher just teaches, the evangelist for power. He said, no. You will see. It is a science in the gospel. Where Jesus did not teach, he didn't get results. Where he taught, he got results. When he didn't get to results, he didn't go to power, he went to teaching. And you'll see where people refused his teaching, he could heal nobody in there. He couldn't. We'll see tonight. And the Bible records the power of God was present, but they hardened their heart to what he was saying. He couldn't heal anybody. He left there and went to another city, and miracles began. So if you're a teacher and you believe that teacher is for teaching, you've lost years. Ask God to restore the years the cankerworm stole. Listen, when I was growing up as a Christian, I won't call his name, one of the serious foundational, serious leading word of faith teachers in his church, he saw somebody was crippled. He said, I'm not called to heal, I'm called to teach. I won't call his name. John chapter 14, this is the Spirit within. John 14 and verse 16. John 14. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he will dwell with you, and shall be where? In you. Then verse 26, it tells us what he would be doing when he's in you. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall do what? Teach you all things. And he shall bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, this one, if you want to agree, if you want, don't agree. But me, I'll say it. You know, the Bible says, you anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. Who went about doing what? Good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You see, when you're just operating with that first workings of the Spirit, all you'll be doing is you'll be a good Christian. But you can't heal anybody oppressed of the devil. You'll be good. You have character. Do you get what I'm saying here? Sound Christian. That person, sound. But bring somebody to heal headache. They have no idea how to do it. There is a power dimension to heal those that are oppressed. Are you following what I'm saying here? So Acts 10:38 there says, he went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed. And why does God go into the power dimension? Is one of the major reasons is to remove the demonic obstacles for his will to come to pass. In other words, the power is being released. That's why it says, healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil. So it takes power there to remove. All right? That's why if we don't get into the power dimension, you can have a good Christian, they will remain good, but anywhere there's a character flaw that a demon is sitting on it, that character will not change throughout their Christian life. Because it takes power, do you get what I'm saying here, to remove any form of demonic conflict. That's why when Jesus called his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and he wanted to send them out, he said, this is a power ministry you're going to. When he had called the 12, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to do what? To heal. So the power there is for casting out demons. I'm trying to tell you, I told them, where the Nigerian church took off. This is one of the mysteries about the Nigerian church that people don't understand. People even come from different parts of the world and say, what's the secret to this Nigerian church here? Why do you have such large, powerful ministry? What's going on here? And I tell people, there was an, that's why I invited them in for this movement. There was an indigenous move of the Spirit in this country, which was a power move. Now, what happened was that power move was there. So when Nigerians traveled and understood scripture, and they came back, go and listen to the interview of Paeltin with Archbishop Idausa. He said, Bible school can't teach you how to deal with some African problems. Go and listen to what he said. Go and listen to it. Part one, you sent it to me now. Part one, part two, part three. He said he can't deal. You see those people, they didn't know scripture like that, but they knew power. Are you following me here? So when our people came back, those that were smart spiritually and saw it, went and collected the power, maybe by night, so you didn't know. Mixed it with scripture. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then began to demonstrate. Because other people didn't have that root in their country, they are wondering what happened. Check any explosive ministry. Show me that there's no power there. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 49. That's where we now start getting into some things now. It's a simple message. Notice that it is no longer in you, the Spirit. What Jesus is talking about is upon now. Look at it here. Put it up. Behold, I send the promise of my Father or what? Upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with what? Power from on high. Please understand this. Read every account of Jesus for the day of the Pentecost where he told them to tarry. He didn't say tarry for the Holy Ghost. He said tarry for power. That's what Jesus said. Go and read it. I will show you. The reason is that he had already given them the Holy Ghost. I will show you. What he told them to do is to tarry. You see, let's not confuse things. We can get a man just born again and say, be filled with the Holy Ghost. They are filled. Power. You can't lay hands and be filled with power. Tarry is the key to power. What we are thinking is that Holy Ghost they have is power. It's not. Nobody can handle power without tarrying. Jesus himself entered the wilderness, for you can't be more born again. Listen to me than Jesus. It is the life of Jesus they gave you. Do you get what I'm saying here? You think Jesus will go on 40-day fast if not necessary? He just went to suffer. Or your own flesh is not the flesh he had. A man that had never seen you, that had seen in this flesh. Please leave this child talk. Show me with your meat pie and your doctrine power. So it says, tarry until you be endued. Look at the second time he told them. Acts chapter 1, verse 7 to verse 8. Or verse 8. Look at what it says here. And he said unto them, it's done for you to know times that the Father has placed in his own power. Verse 8. But you shall receive what? Power. That's what he said. After the Holy Ghost is come, what? Upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses. In all Jerusalem. He says, the Holy Ghost will come upon. There is the Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. You know, I learned this one from Ken Fagan because, and I said it so that I'm not alone. Because what I'm about to say, you say, well, you see it in scripture. I know. I have the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost. You'll be a good guy. You'll see it. You'll be a what? Good guy. You'll become a deacon. The pastor will say, lovely guy. Who are the people you really trust in the church? Those guys. Power you won't have. Ministry was organic. What power can produce? Instagram, leave it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are to Instagram, Facebook. What power can produce? Leave trending. Do you get what I'm saying? Look at this here. Now follow me here in this journey. I'm going to bring it to a close now. John chapter 20 and verse 17. Now, Jesus could not be an outpouring of his spirit to man until he had ascended. All right? You understand that? Jesus had to ascend to the right hand of the Father. Not just to be raised up. There was resurrection and then there was ascension. There had to be ascension for him to be at the right hand of the Father for the Spirit to be poured forth or for people to be able to receive the Holy Ghost. Now in John chapter 20 and verse 17, Jesus said unto her, let's look from verse 16. This was after resurrection. All right, Jesus said unto her, Mary, and she turned. Now, because of time, let's go to verse 14. And so you see, and when she had thought, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. The next verse, Jesus said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be a gardener. Huh? When your eyes are closed, it's a terrible thing. You will call Jesus a gardener. Saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. That's wherever the body is. Because she didn't see the body again. Jesus said unto her, Mary, she turned herself and said, Rabboni, which is to mean master. She realized it was him. Jesus said what? Touch me not. You know, say, don't touch me. He said, why? He says, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But do what? Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now we go to verse 22. Same thing. And when he had, then the same day in the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Verse 20, and when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. And I will show you in Luke's reference where he said, handle me. That means he had already ascended and come back. That's what I want to show you. He said, handle me. Didn't he tell them, you can't touch me if I've not ascended? What we are thinking is that he's going by plane to take him. That's what we are thinking. It should be you ascending. It should take you time now. Huh? It should take you 4 weeks to come back. And listen, he said, look at what he said. He showed them his hands and sides, and his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And verse 21, and he said, peace be unto you, all right, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said what? Receive the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what Jesus said? Not power. When it was power, he said, carry. Holy Ghost, receive. Are you following what I'm saying here? People are playing games with this one. Look at the next verse. When you have Holy Ghost, you will be happy. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain are retained. Next verse. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12, that was not with them when they came, he said all what he said and said, except I touch and all of that, I will not, all right, believe. Now, let's go to Luke's account. Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Same account of this. All right, let's go from 38. And he said unto them, or from 37, so you see that he came through the doors. Or 36, I just want to show you. And they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. It's the same thing. You can read the whole chapter when you get up. Next verse. It says, and they were terrified, affrighted, supposedly had been a spirit. Verse 38. He said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself, handle me. He had gone and come back. That's why he said what? Handle, touch me. When he hadn't ascended, he said, don't touch me. Handle me and see, for his spirit, leave it here, hath not flesh, bones, as you see. And then the next verse, he went on and said, but when he had thought spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? And then they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And verse 43, and he took it and did eat before them. All right? And he said unto them, these are the words I speak unto you that is written be fulfilled. Verse 45, and then he went on and said, then he opened their understanding. It's the same thing about he breathed on them the Holy Ghost. And that they might do what? Understand the scripture. That Holy Ghost is for understanding of scripture. But look at what he said next. And he said unto them, thus it is written, that it be of Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. So John says he breathed the Holy Ghost. Here he says he opened their understanding. That repentance and everything. Verse 48. The Bible says, and you are witnesses to these things. Verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father what? Upon. Do you see he said upon here? He said, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with what? Power. With that from on high. The next verse, the Bible says, and he led them out to Bethany and lifted up his hands, blessed them. And the scripture tells us that it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And verse 52, and they worshipped him, returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. It's the joy of the Holy Ghost. Next verse 53, and they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God, but no power. We can be singing, no power. We open the scriptures, no power. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise and worship, no power. A friend of mine, she's coming from America. You were there in her house. Her son there was there. He just sat there and said, Mommy, I want to ask you a question because I've known her from campus. Why is that we go to church? We don't really see power again. They try to cover it. I said, we must answer this boy's question. The boy is asking a real question. Is that a real question? There is spirit within, and there is spirit what? Upon. Within, we can come here like last night and pray for people and people receive. But for power, people have to tarry. You see, anything that is opened, this is why we're going on fast after this meeting, anything that is opened to you in scripture, you need to tarry for the power to see that thing. Or else you'll be discussing it. Look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Acts 6 and verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among yourselves. This is what Peter said. We don't want to get distracted. Seven men of what? Honest report. Which means, let's go into the congregation and look for very honest people. Which is good. Honest report. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that know how to handle business issues, whom we may appoint over this what? Business. So they could handle issues. They will negotiate properly. And they were honest people. In fact, now we're even looking in church now. We're almost losing this one. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. People of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. You know when a person is full of the Holy Ghost? They shandai, manka, you know? You're full of the Holy Ghost. Honest report, good report, they're good people. Wise in their affairs. Then he says, why are we doing that? What we will give ourselves, what are they looking for now? What are they looking for? We will give ourselves continually now, this is the key to it all, to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, follow me here. Next verse. Read the Bible very well. Read the Bible well. Because when he says seeds as of many, Paul told them, he said seed as of one. That there's a difference in the Bible between seeds, plural, and seed. He used it to change the game. Confuse the Jews. Because they were saying, listen to, we own Jesus. He came and said, you, my friend, let's go back to the Abrahamic covenant. The promise was not to you people. He destabilized all of them. Because they came to the Gentile church saying that, listen, we are the custodians of this thing. You better believe what we're saying. You must do circumcision. Paul went to God in prayer. God said, I will remove the rug off their feet. Read the scripture well. It's seeds, not of seed as of one, not many. The promise was to Christ and to Abraham and to his seed. That seed, he was talking about one person, who is Christ. Paul came out. Read it. Open it. Open it. Read. Read. There is a seed. Yeah, yeah. So who is it? Only one person. He said it wasn't even Isaac who you are talking about. Destabilized them. So read this thing here. You know they said people full of the Holy Ghost. Abby? Now let's go on. The next verse. Acts 6. The next verse. And the same pleased the whole multitude. And they chose who? Stephen. A man. Not men. A man. Stephen was different. A man. Full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, and Philip and all these other guys there, apostolates of the Antioch. But there was a man that was full of what? Faith. Look. You can have the Holy Ghost and no operating faith. Are you following what I'm saying here? What we used to call old-time evangelicals were people that had honest reports, that had Holy Ghost. Do you get what I'm saying here? Back in the day, if you say, I am a born-again Christian, they will leave money on the table and go. Are you following what I'm saying? When you say, I'm a Christian, they knew what you were saying. Because those people weren't talking about power. They didn't believe in power. They will tell you the days of healing are gone. They'll say, what does it mean to be a Christian? They'll tell you it's to have a good character, to be a good person. They emphasize that. In our bid to explain revelation and to be showing that we know more than them, we destroy the foundation that we are standing on. I've told you, any new move that is attacking previous move, leave them alone. We were there on campus when people abusing, they don't have revelation. They don't have revelation. Sense knowledge. All of it. Look, one day I told the guy, I said, these people have been here for years. What kept them? They don't have revelation. They don't have revelation. But they are solid Christians. By the time we said we have revelation, we forsook what they knew. Then now people are talking revelation. They are saying character we can't find. Let me tell you, my parents were lecturers. One day I heard my mother. She was telling my father. She just said, some people came late. You know these SU people, they came late for lecture. And then some people said, you people are late. And then someone said, leave them alone now. Are they perfect? Yeah, you might. But no, what they preach should show that they are perfect. They can't come. Will you say that today, Pentecostal? We've left that. And any new move of the Spirit that takes the body of Christ to a higher level must combine all previous moves. Or else it's fake. You have to see if genuinely there's progress. Are you telling me that somebody will be teaching new mathematics and then we ask you, what is 5 times 5? You say you don't know. It has to include what is already known. So let's go on. Let's read on here. You see something about Stephen. This same place, the whole multitude. Now, verse 7.
And the word of God, what? Increased. And the number of disciples, what? Multiplied. Great was the company of the priests obedient to the faith. Now, verse 8. And Stephen, only him, among all the other people. How did he get it? Full of what? Faith and what? Power. That means Stephen must have been looking at those people. What are they doing? They say we should be serving tables. You better use another eye. What are these? The Bible now says full of what? Faith and power. Look at the next thing there. He did great wonders and miracles. The rest did not do. But they had a good report. They were wise in their affairs. They knew how to arrange everything. Do you get what I'm saying here? But no power. And no matter how good you are, one day you'll be tested with power. And if you fail that power test, people may look on all your good works and say, where is their God? Are you following what I'm saying? And the problem always is doctrinal. It's the fact that people have been taught a certain way. I was taught to think that if you teach, and let me tell you what, there are many people, I won't say this publicly, that could have gotten miracles after I taught, but I left them. Because when you teach, you stir the faith of people up. So you can come to a point where if Paul, after he finished teaching, that crippled man had faith to be made whole, and Paul just closed his Bible and left, that man would have remained crippled. But he needed Paul to say, get up. Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes we'll just finish teaching. It's not hard though. Because their faith has been stirred up. Don't just say, listen to me. If there's anything on your faith, just jump up. And the person will just jump and they're healed. Because it's the word that produces it. Are you following what I'm saying? I was going to say it tonight, but let me just say this. I was telling a friend, I saw it, I said, the Bible says the word they heard did not profit them. Think about it. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That scripture is not saying they didn't have faith. It's saying it wasn't mixed. In other words, when they preached, the word produced faith. The problem was with the faith, they did nothing. That's why we didn't see any profit. There was no mixing. So how do you get from, we'll see this here, from just being full of the Holy Ghost to getting a place of power? Faith is the connector. Because what we see in Stephen, I'll discuss tonight, was faith. It's not just prayer, but it's the prayer of what? Faith. Because, hear what I'm about to say. People ask, is every time you speak in tongues, you are praying? They know what they're asking. If faith is not involved, you are just speaking in tongues. It only becomes a prayer when there is faith. Are you following what I'm saying here? You can speak in tongues all night. If you are not in faith, there will be no result. And that faith comes by hearing. So a person can just... So I want to close something. When we talk about a person, you know, is praying, you can fast outside of faith, though. And you come out thinking that it is the fast. You know, one of the messages that brought breakthrough to the body of Christ, where if you listen to Kenneth Hagin, when they will talk before and after, if you listen to their 76 message, they will talk about, well, this church was a big church. And when they talk about a big church, it's 800. 600. That's the big church. Even in Lagos, I think Pastor Matthew has said it, there was a church there in Ebutemata. They said they all used to go and look at it. Wonders, as like the eighth wonder of the world. And they used to have 1,000 people. They would say, go there on Sunday morning. Everybody will arrive. Let's go and say 1,000 people. Redeemed Church of God, when they will do their convention then, they will tell you 2,000 people max. What happened? That if you go to Redeemed now, and they say they are doing convention, and you see 500 people, 500,000, you say, you people, what has happened to the anointing? 500,000. 500,000. What caused that explosion? What brought about the explosion there, inside? What brought that? One of the major teachings was intercessory prayer by precept and example. And when Kenneth Copeland was teaching it, in fact, in the teaching he did in 79, he got so deep into it that he said, while I was interceding, he prophesied, I saw, he said it, USSR, the communists there, he said, I saw it as a large snake by prophetic utterance. He said it was cut up into pieces. He said, you'll see it's going to happen. But in the beginning of the teaching, he said, what produces results in prayer is faith, not the sounds you make. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because I'm going, ah, come on. Hey, hey. That's not what produces results. It is what? Faith. So somebody can be in faith and they're groaning, ah, Lord. And then you look at the person and say, that's why they have results. Because they groan. You to go there, ah, Lord. You are following next out. It is faith. That's why Jesus said, when I was talking about the unjust judge and the widow, he said, if the unjust, he wasn't talking about length of time. He said, if the unjust judge could respond eventually to this widow, how much more won't your father respond? He used the word speedily. He said, but when he cometh, shall the Son of Man find faith on the earth? Is that faith that brought that change for Stephen there? So when you go there into the place of prayer, you can't go into the place of prayer to produce results without the knowledge of scriptures. That's why this Holy Ghost comes first to teach you. Alright? Which means before you get into... And let's get into power. He says you must have the knowledge of what? Scripture. So he teaches you. He opens your eyes and teaches you. So is what he has taught you. That's why in the book of Acts, when they said they were coming to deal with them, and they brought power on the scene, and they tarried for power. I mean, they had the Holy Ghost now. They had the Holy Ghost. But you can be tested at a level where this is your power level. Your authority level never changes. Your access never changes. But your power level is in measures. Or else Jesus would not say, greater works than this shall I do. To do work takes power. Are you following what I'm saying here? So when they threaten them, Peter and John didn't just go back and quote scripture. They returned to their company and said, we require a greater measure of what? Power. Then they collected the scriptures they knew and went up to God in prayer. And when the power came down, the shadow of Peter was healing the sick. His shadow was healing the sick. That's what we were saying last night. There's the opening up of the seals. That's the spirit within. There's the trumpet. But for that trumpet to sound, for what you saw inside the seals, for that thing to happen, there is sacrifice there. Are you following what I'm saying here? There are some things you say because God loves you. There are some things you get only because you love God. Do you get what I'm saying here? You can trust God for it, but it's whether God can trust you with it. And when you trust God for it, this is what we're saying. God says, I will take you through the pathway to remove everything inside you that will make me, anything I feel is inside you that can derail you. I will take you through a process where I will remove everything. And then when you get to that point, you can be building a car and you have a vision for the car. But when you build it, you say, I don't trust we can do this now. Because the car is not in shape. So let's drive it against the concrete wall. Even the engineer says, let's wait. I don't trust what is inside this thing now. Then we keep working on it until the car comes to a point where the engineer says, I will sit inside this car, drive it against that concrete wall. Nothing will happen. If you allow God to work on the inside of you, which means burn out of your life everything that should be burnt out, then he says, we can now trust you with this. You can be shouting, God, you can trust me, God, you can trust me. God, I'm telling you, you want to fall when I go. God, it's the same thing Peter said. I'm telling you, Jesus, I'm telling you. Peter wasn't lying. Peter, look. Okay, let me not, because if you say that, people will misunderstand what you're saying. All right? Because sometimes people just like gist more than revelation knowledge. So if you give an example, they'll say, oh, you're talking about. But, you know, you can, that's why sometimes, you know, whatever you say, you'll be tested at that level. Are you following what I'm saying? So if you go out and you say something, you'll be tested as to whether you have power to match what you are saying. All right? So Peter said, listen to me, I will never deny. He wasn't lying to Jesus. He just didn't know what was inside his heart. I mean, I've said this several times. Someone was telling me in church, there was a man, they brought him from the village, his children, to come for proper medical care. So they took him to a hospital somewhere in VI and wanted to inject him. So the doctor said, Baba, have you eaten? So he looked around and said, yes, I've eaten. They said, just to confirm, Baba, so what did you eat? He looked around. He said, cornflakes, sausages, bacon. Baba, it's okay, you've eaten. That means you've eaten. Then they injected Baba. And unfortunately, he threw up. What came out was beans. Now, you can front and say, they will come and inject you. What really is inside will come out. If you can even bring that scripture, I think it's Job 4. It says, you have strengthened others. You have comforted them in time of trouble. But it toucheth thee. And you are shouting. You know, you can share and not be have what you are sharing. What did Paul say? He said, I can preach it. I'm still be cast away. And I want to get into something. You can preach things other people will pray into their lives. You didn't pray it into your life. I was preaching for somebody. He said I should come and train his pastors. I won't call his name. But somebody was sitting beside him who was one of the foundation for the of founding fathers of charismatic movement in Nigeria. And I will close with that scripture. And I said, Elijah said, I have heard the sound of the abundance of rain. So he told Ahab, go and eat and drink. and he went to pray. I said, you can announce to people you've heard the sound, but you didn't pray it. But some other people caught it and they went to pray. And I said, there are many people inside this country who touched the sound but never touched it. Both of them just said, yeah! They knew what I was talking about. That you served the food but you didn't eat it. Let's close with it here. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 40. So this is power for flight. Elijah said, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. Now you remember it's the prayer of faith. This is the prayer of faith. You remember James said because of time. Alright? You people, I was on 20 minutes, now one. Okay, are you sure you did not talk? Alright, I'm joking. And they took them and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. Next verse. And Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. For there is a what? Sound of the abundance of rain. So he saw the will of God. He knew the will of God. The Spirit of God showed him. He said, go and eat and drink. There is a what? Sound. But he understood the responsibility that was attached to it. Now, if he didn't do this second part, what will have happened is that he will have ended up looking like a false prophet. Because they will have been waiting for the rain. And the rain will never have come. Do you get what we say here? So look at what he did next. Because he knew his duty. Next verse. And Elijah said the sound. So Ahab went to eat and to drink. Please, after Wolfbeck, don't go and eat and drink after. Listen, I just want to say something here. Listen to what I'm about to say. I don't believe, and you can't show me anywhere in scripture, online church. There's online ministry. You can minister online. But church, people have to come together physically. Okay? Or else, then there can be online visitation. And if you're in prison, we do online prison ministry. And then after some time, online marriage. Can you do online marriage? Say, you're online. Where's your husband? We're online. But somebody told me something. I was talking to somebody and I said, during the COVID season, I said, a pastor, even Pastor Dele Oshimakinde, he told me, after I did the interview with Pastor Adeboye, he said, you know something? He said, after that interview, I prayed in tongues for almost 1.5 hours because those words touched me. And I thought to myself that this is something. Because if the interview was live and we sat down on this altar and I finished interviewing at the Pastor Adeboye and he gets down, people will be coming to take selfie. They will rise up and they will be playing. By the time they get home, they have forgotten even the words they heard. So during that online time, people will listen to messages and just pray, sit with their Bible, pray. So many people grew. But now, playful fellowship with the brethren. Not fellowship. Playful fellowship with the brethren. Because in scripture, there's a difference between fellowship and breaking bread. You can go to somebody's house and eat, but you are not in fellowship. Do you get what I'm saying here? What brings fellowship? John said, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, which our hands have handled, declare we unto you, that you might have fellowship with us. In other words, if me and you sit down to discuss Liverpool Man U match yesterday, we are not in fellowship. We are breaking bread. Who are you in fellowship with? Is the person when you see something in scripture, you can call the person straight. If the only conversation is politics, you are not in fellowship. So the only thing that will enhance is after you leave church, you are in the car park, you are discussing the revelation. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what will enhance it. But if you are discussing eyelashes or color of shoe or you know, ah, that girl. Ah, do you see that girl? I've told you. That girl. This is what she was wearing. Before you get home, your anointing has dissipated. So let's go now. Close here. So it says they rose up to play. I've told people, young people, don't let anybody come and deceive you. That entertainment is your way to. Listen, remove that garment. That when you want to catch young people, it's entertainment. I believe that thing. Which entertainment? Don't let them come and tell you it's entertainment. You want to know the mysteries of the covenant. I saw some teenagers from Igondo Church. I was so impressed. They saw him say, "Pastor, last night, strong meat. Eh? Strong, you gave us." I said, "That's it. Strong meat." They were excited. Strong meat. They know. Don't listen to me. They are watching you. Be entertaining them. They are watching you. The day they leave, they will live forever. Every human spirit is thirsty. Listen, the previous generation, some of you met God in secondary school. First thing, you are now telling the next generation, is entertainment. Even if people come and tell you, we were so blessed, we enjoyed it. Listen, you won't see them after some time. Let somebody give them power, the real thing. They will leave you, dump you. Your heart will be broken and it needs to break. Are you following what I'm saying? Christianity is not playful. Paul said, "Of what use is it? We fought beasts. Your reward is in heaven." I'm not saying you can't be entertained though. But what I'm saying, that's not the core. That's not the selling point. That's not the point of entry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you that lead us here, you were already teaching Bible in secondary school. You were sharing the word. Even if you were sharing half revelation, you were sharing it. And people were getting saved. And some of you that got saved are still Christians till now. Some of them are pastors. So you must have done something right. You understand? I was close here. All right, let's put it here. So it says they rose up quickly. My time is up. They rose up to... Oh, yeah, now. First King. Uh-huh. Oh, I know you are going to that scale. I'm not going to that one. Let's go back. It's part of it, but let's go back. First King. All right. Okay. And he said to his servants, go up. No, verse 42. He says, they rose up to play. Verse 42. All right. But Elijah went to the top of the camel. Literal translation means he went to the top of the mountain. This is where the old patriarchs used to go to mountain top. And don't say it's because they didn't have revelation. I can get that power in my room. Don't fool yourself. I used to be like that. Until one day I read Charles Finney's book. He said, I was praying in my room. God said, go into the woods. He said, I said, for what reason? He said, get into the woods. He said, get into the woods. The more contact you have with people, the less the anointing is. Isolation increases it. He said, we got into the woods 1 week. He said, everything scattered. Power was going everywhere. He told his people, we'll be praying at 12 noon, 6 a.m. He said, we kept those watches while I was in the woods. He said, by the time we came out, revival, he said, I found the secret to revival. I can't remember the exact date. What Pastor Edebori said, he says, in fact, Kenneth Hagin, he said it in that camp meeting 1980. He said, Jerry Savelle alluded to it. He said, I know how to increase the anointing when the anointing is diminishing. I know how to increase operations in the spirit when it's diminishing. And he said, this is how you do it. He said, I just isolate myself from people for one entire day. He said, the anointing will go up. Finish. Let us close here. And Elijah went to the top of the camel and cast himself upon the earth and put his face in between his knees and said to his servant, go now and look towards the sea. And he went and looked. There is nothing. He said, go again 7 times. And he came, he was certain there was going to be something because he was in faith. And he came and said, behold, arise a cloud like a man's hand. He said, go up, say to Ahab, at this point now, power has come. Now, works can start. If there's no power, you can go on the horses and say, if I go on the horses, the rain will fall. You know, it will not fall. Do you get what I'm saying here? Because you say corresponding action. You can go on the horses. If I'm just riding, the power will fall. Power will not fall. Power comes by itself. Leave her. Just leave her alone. Power comes by its what? Self. Now, look at what it says here. Prepare thy chariot. Get it down. That the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with thick clouds, and there was great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the scripture says, and the hand of the Lord was on, that spirit upon. Do you get what we're saying here? Spirit upon was on Elijah. And he guarded his loins and ran before Ahab into the entrance of Jezreel. He overtook Ahab that was on chariot because the spirit was what? Upon him. That's why Jesus said, tarry. Your level of power is determined by how much you tarry. If you don't tarry, you are powerless. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are giving lectures. You are a lecturer. You know what a lecturer is? Can be preaching. It is tarrying that brings about power. So if you want to soar in faith, there. That's the dimension there. You know, many years ago, a preacher, my uncle, his name, he said, the day I respected Archbishop Idausa, he gave a testimony that he went to a place, took their book, dropped it here. I've come to crush the head of this spirit in this land. He said he too saw it. He too went somewhere. That there was a crusade. There was a crusade the next day. So he too took their book, dropped it at the airport. I crushed the head. He said, it was the mercy of God that he made it to the crusade. His eyes were swollen like this. He said, he had to wear sunglasses. People didn't know that the spirits dealt with him by next morning. Power is to do what? Cast out devils. You follow what I'm saying? And the first here is to see lives transformed by power. There's your own personal test, but there's the test to see lives transformed. Let's just spend 5 minutes praying in the Spirit and asking that, Lord, but this is prayer for power. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's, you are praying, God, this is power. For 5 minutes, the Lord, I'm leaving this place with a baptism of power. I'm leaving this place with a baptism there of power. To be a change agent to my generation. A change agent to my generation. Pray that We leave this conference with the former and the latter rain. A baptism of power. Baptism of power. If you're a young person here, go to God and say, I want to show power to my generation. I want to show power to my generation. Manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of healings, workings of miracles. We are living in a dying world that needs power.